Rachel. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Nice to meet you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, that's cool. You're a recent follow for me, but I think so. I like starting the podcast with like everyone knows me. This is my podcast. Somebody's listening to this because you know they know who I am. But why? I always think it's up to me to kind of be like, well, why would I invite you on the podcast? And I think, first of all, you have amazing content and all of that. But I think just like if you looked at my social media feed over the last 5 years, it's just transitioned towards. Listen, you have super educational content. Don't get me wrong when I say this, but a little bit on the lighter side, a little bit on the more accessible, a little bit more on the taking it a little less seriously, but still being interested in doing things like correctly and appropriately and learning and not losing the, hey, let's do things right when we're trying to shoot for it. Because there are some people I'm thinking of. There's actually one account most recently that's like somebody was talking about the other day. And I'm like, yeah, but that person has totally kind of sold out on the education side, is like not actually doing anything that is really helpful. They're just going the entertainment route. And I feel like you do such a good job of this. Is somebody could follow you and be like, I'm really entertained and I'm learning something. And so you do a really great job at that. So I just want to say that.
Oh, no, I think that's really cool. That's actually so cool. And especially coming from you say that I'm a recent follow for you. I've actually followed you for freaking ages. I've always loved your content. Because you did MNU as well. So I did that years ago. Must be about five, 6 years ago. I think you might have been the intake after me, potentially, or before. I can't remember, but I just remember you were using the hashtag or something. I was like, I like how this person talks. It's very straightforward, down to earth. And I just liked it. And so I've followed you for a really long time. And so when you started following me in message, I was like, that's just wild for me. But sure. Yeah.
Dude, I saw that. We might've actually chatted about it, but I recently had a new baby. And so I don't remember anything anymore. Thank you. I saw MNU in your sign off on your email. I have it also in my email. What was your experience like? I mean, I've had Martin on the podcast. I love Martin. He's like totally just from his, I say I have a brain crush on him. I appreciate just the way his brain works in a lot of ways. And so what was your experience like taking that course? I don't know how to even explain it because it's not something we have a lot in the United States, I think, where it's a really legit, I don't like calling it a certification or something. I mean, it's just a non-academic route, a non-traditional academic route that I find to be a very legit way to actually know what the hell you're doing. And so did you have a good experience? We took it many, many years now. Do you still feel like you got a lot of value? Do you recommend it to other people? You had a good experience?
Yeah, I'd say the course itself, definitely. That was actually one of the first courses. It was the first course that I did. I think I did it even before my PT qualification. I did do it before then, yeah. So I actually initially wanted to just go down the nutrition route rather than the training and nutrition. And that was my first kind of introduction to a certification or whatever. But I found it really set me up to then go into the other ones in terms of putting the critical cap on. It was very good at doing that. So rather than it just being that delivery of information, it was that, okay, so how does this apply? Which I thought was a very good thing to learn early on. And it meant as you go through other courses, it's like, okay, so what is the context of that? And those sorts of things. So yeah, I had a really good experience of the course itself for sure. Yeah.
You were able to go in person, do the full of honors?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Jealous. I was. That's awesome. That's super fun. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to catch Martin.
Yeah, he was one of the first ones. I can't remember now how many times I've done it, but yeah, I went up to Nottingham, was pinching those, it's the
calipers
and getting your kit off in front of loads of strangers and then squeezing each other. But it's a bonding experience. What can we say?
Yeah, true. Let's stick with you and your story. Give us the background. You know, the old classic: how you got into the fitness space, why this, why not other things in life, and maybe within our little fitness niche, the things you're feeling passionate about these days, things you like to educate on social media, maybe things that you really enjoy working on with clients, that sort of thing. So people, not just everyone knows, cool, you lift, you do the nutrition thing, but within that, what do you feel passionate about, and how'd you get there?
Yeah, no, great question. And well, we'll be here for a while, right? So everybody strap it. No, so I had somewhat of a traditional route into the fitness industry. both in a way and in a not way, because I'm the classic, I came from a sporty background. I was talking to you just before we hit the record of how much I loved football or soccer. If you've got American listeners, don't want to confuse the matter. I'm definitely not American football, never seen with a shoulder pad. But so I was a very keen football / soccer player from like the age of like 6 or 7, and went into that very full on through like going through school, and was always just picked for all the sports teams. And the funny thing is everyone always said to me, you need to go into the sport industry. Like when you sit down at school, they suggest this is what you'll be good at. They told me, you should go into the sport industry. You'll be very, very good at that. And me being a sassy little teenager was like, well, now you've told me to do it, I'm not going to do it. So I actually went and did art. I went and got an art degree, and my first jobs were I used to work in theatre and film for like, I used to do like set construction and scenic painting and those sorts of things. I was like the kind of the manual labour behind like theatre and film for a bit out of uni. And then I went into interior design. I used to design bathrooms and kitchens when I wanted a bit more stable work. And then all the way through doing that, I was like, why? Even in my degree, I was like, why am I doing this? I've literally done this just because I was being sassy. And the older I got, the more ridiculous I realized that was, because over that time, like in the background, I was just getting into sim. So I finished playing football because I tore my ACL badly. Fuck. Had a surgery, went wrong, had 6 months of faffy bad rehab, kind of came back into it, tore it again, that kind of thing. So in that meantime, I kind of got into lifting, and then into kind of like understanding more evidence-based practices around lifting. Well, I couldn't really lift that much. All I could do was hit the books about it, because I got like then obsessed about that. And I was like, well, all I can do is read about it, because I can't actually go and do much at the moment because my knee's not working. So it was all the way through, like after I graduated for a couple of years, is when I started training, like, or like getting certifications in nutrition, personal training, a few like other courses and things, just to kind of get my head around stuff, but mostly binge listening to as many podcasts and free resources, because there's so many decent ones out there, and just went probably a few years of kind of doing that. And it was in terms of what sport job I wanted to do, I didn't know what I really wanted to do. The first actual like gig I got in the fitness space was helping fighters make weight which is completely wrong. So that was like, I had a few friends that like were quite high up in fighting, and I saw them running with a bin bag going into a weight cut. And I was like, I had just finished MNU at that point. And I was like, how are you feeling, dude? And they're like, I think I could die. And I was like, I think you could too. And then so they did the fight, they lost, felt crap. And then we just got talking afterwards, and he was like, do you know ways of like not doing that? And I was like, yeah, I think we could. If we're going to prep longer, we can go through it. And I was like, you'll be my first experiment. Are you okay with that? And then he was like, yeah, that's fine. And you know what fighters were probably like, I don't know if you've ever worked with fighters, but they're very, very regimented. So whatever you tell them to do, they do. And so after that, he realized that he didn't have to be doing such awful water cuts, still has to do a little one, but one that was way more manageable, one that he could actually replete at the end of it. And like he got on the cage, he was UFC fighter, did really well. And then from that, just had a few kind of people that I was working with that. And so it was from that, I was like, oh, okay, this is quite cool. And then, started just kind of, I was trained at like a local gym, and just other people then start asking for advice, and then I'll just start giving it. And then it was like, okay, starting to just like naturally transition into it. Eventually it was just the case of, I had a few part-time clients, and then after the part-time clients got big enough, I was like, okay, I'm going to leave designing bathrooms now, because I don't want to sell toilets anymore. So then I just started coaching, and that was like half in person, half online, and then eventually just went fully online. I've been coaching full-time for about 4 years now, and it was about 18 months ago that my social media then just blew up. So I was coaching for a long time. I didn't kind of just get my certification, go, cool, okay, let's now start making content. It took like quite a few years to kind of build it to where it kind of got to, and the experience of like working with as many people as I could. And then in the last 18 months is where it's kind of like erupted, I guess. And then kind of like, I guess then coming into the niche of like, where's my content kind of started and gone to? I think similar-ish to you, I did start off with like the more hard education side of like, this is the right way to do things. And like, all those sorts of things. And I think it definitely helps get certain clients, and like it's obviously useful still having that information. But I think just the more I coached and the more people that just were drawn to my energy were more people that were just anxious about getting into the gym, wanted to kind of get started, just wanted to feel confident in their body. And kind of just the more general population is like just where I connect since way better with, resonated with, could have more of a laugh with. And then I just started shaping my content and the people that I wanted to work with more towards that. And I think like the main thing that I'm passionate about, and it's always kind of been there, is just like getting people moving. It's just as simple as that, like just getting people in a situation where getting into a gym space becomes less intimidating, where they can start to believe in themselves, that they can actually be consistent, where they can stop berating themselves if they skip gym sessions, if they do things perfectly, like just taking them from that space of being anxious that they're going to mess everything up or like get into the gym, and take them to a place where they can actually, one, start to enjoy it and be like, oh my God, this isn't the shittest thing that I've ever experienced. And then actually be able to see some really cool results because they actually start to be consistent. So I think it was like, it was just, I always had really great success with that type of client, and it's who I really enjoy working with. So my content kind of just went more towards that of like, yo, life's not that deep, just lift some stuff, you know? So yeah.
That brings us all the way to where you are today. And I think of, there was a couple of things you said. One was the theater and art thing, which is like, did you like doing that? And I'll tell you why I'm asking. Did you like doing it, but it ultimately just like wasn't a career for you? Or like in that theater and art space was literally you just being like a stupid rebel of like, I'm going to do a 180 from whatever I was told to do? Or is that also a passion that you have maybe on the side or still have at all?
It was a passion. And ever since doing it as a degree, I've never touched a paintbrush again. Honestly, it's one of those of where it was a one that it, I did enjoy it. But then when it was doing it in the workspace, it was always the jobs that you're doing when you come out of uni is like crap pay, long hours. I was like, why am I doing this? I don't love it enough to do it. And so it made me like resent it, I would say. And yeah, I still do some creative stuff like that never makes it to social media and things. But yeah, it did have like a 180 from that of as soon as I got out of the creative industry, I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that no more. I guess I do it through content and that sort of stuff. But like, yeah, in terms of actual painting anymore, nah.
No. That's where I was going with it, because I just feel like content is its own form of art, right? It's its own form. Marketing, even just like from a business level, is a form of art / manipulation, right? But yeah, I could sense that in your content. I'm just like, yeah, it's not like you're like painting shit and making everything look fucking perfect. I'm not saying that, but just the idea of like being creative and trying to find your own way and being like self-expression. I can see that. I mean, come on, you know that that's like your bread and butter. It's just like, hey, I'm going to be me and I'm going to attract people who vibe with who I am and not change myself too much. And yeah, so I could totally see that. That's super cool. From working with fighters, listen, everybody, it's so every kid who like gets into like a fitness and nutrition space at some point in school thinks that the ultimate goal is to work with like a clientele that's more dedicated to their craft. So it's like, first I'll work with the gen pop mom and pop people. Then I'll work with like college athletes. Then I'll make it to the pros or whatever. And I'll get clients that are more and more dedicated, right? So that I can flex more of what I know from the science and what to do, because I'm working with more robotic people over time. You went the other direction, right? Started with a super robotic person where you probably just like assumed you were going to write out a plan. They were going to follow every single thing to a T. And you got to expend a lot of energy on how do I cross every T, dot every I, optimize every single variable. Now, I'm knowing you from all of fucking 5 minutes, but it looks like you're targeting more of an audience of, like you said, people wiggle your bits, get in the gym, like fucking move, do something. Do you, I don't want to say, do you like doing that more, but how do you feel things have changed for you in terms of connecting with a clientele that it's not as straightforward, they're not as robotic, the regular mom and pop gym goer? Do you like that more? What do you feel are some of the pros and cons versus if you're comparing it to like, you know, back in the day when you were working with the fighters?
Yeah, so I think like, the big pro I find and why I really love working with those types of people was because of the impact. Like when, like a lot of the clients that I work with I'm just trying to think of some, like a couple of examples of some of the clients work with. I'm like, holy shit, we did that. It's like, is people like, there's one of my, she might listen to this, I don't know, but one of my clients, well, ex-clients now, she's flying the nest, living her best life. She's still doing really well, like a year on her own. She was called Sharon. She was 65. Never lifted weights before, had a lot of weight to lose to begin with, and had gone through every diet in the sun, typical kind of story, and kind of have felt very defeated. And I think it was her daughter heard me on a podcast years ago and was like, she sounds like she'll be able to put my mum in shape. I'll put her in touch. And then, yeah, we started working together. And she was actually one of my early clients I started working with. And we worked together for 2.5, going on 3 years. And over that time, we lost around 50 kilos. And yeah, like slow, steady, just kept on.
Nobody knows what a kilo is here. No one knows. No, I'm kidding. 120 pounds. It's like 120 pounds. Yeah. It's a lot. A fuck ton. Yeah.
She went from like a 4XL to bordering a medium t-shirt kind of vibe. She was in a position when we first started working with her, like she had like heel pain, back pain. We did have like a physio that worked a little bit with us as well. But they were just basically like, she's just got to lose weight. So I'm like, okay, we'll just kind of go forward. So we got her, like she couldn't go up and downstairs when we first started working together. And then by the time we finished, she was able to go out for like weekend hikes with her family. She was able to go up and downstairs. She was squatting in the gym. She was getting close to like a 60 kg barbell squat and stuff, like from doing literally not being able to like just sit down without pain. And like to see that impact of like, and as well, like that doesn't even expose like the mental changes that we saw with her, of like someone that felt very defeated in herself and very like low in her body, to someone's like, I feel like going into my closing in on my 70s and I feel freaking amazing. And it's like to see an impact like that, for me, I just like nothing ever beats it. And like a lot of the people that we work with are in maybe not that exact example, but they are feeling like unconfident. They feel like they can't do it. And being able to be the person that turns the light on for them, or like going, you can do it. And then actually seeing them do it and being like, that is so fucking cool that you did that. And being able to give them that high five and the cuddle as they kind of go through and like do really hard shit. I just think that impact rather than, oh, okay, did we like, how close to the weigh-in did we get? And it's like, okay, have we like timed your Lucozade refuel like at the right time and stuff? Like it's cool. And it is like, I think from a site, like a geeky and nerdy kind of perspective, there is joy in that. And you do lose out on like that pure optimizing, but I think the optimizing just becomes different because it's always that thing of like you have what's optimal on paper and then you have your person in front of you and you're trying to like move them on that spectrum, aren't you, of like how optimal can we get you before you like fuck off, like where can we kind of get you? And I find that part of the problem solving honestly one of the most interesting parts, and how to help people get like that, those, see those steps build up. And as I say, and when you see that outcome over like a couple of years of them slowly building up and go, look, this is where you were 2 years ago. Like you didn't even want to wear a t-shirt that showed your arms because you're worried what people would think. And now you go into the gym in a crop top and you don't even think twice about it. Like that life difference, I think, is just so impactful. And like, honestly, like just witnessing it and being in that environment, I just think it's really cool. And it brings me so much joy. So yeah, that's I think the main pro. In terms of cons, I think like, yeah, there's obviously more patience required, I would say. Like there is that patience that's required. To be honest, I don't mind that. I'm quite a patient person. Any of my clients will say that. I don't think I've ever told off a client. I'm like, we'll get there. This is fine. We'll just keep on chilling. But I think you do need like to tap into it, especially with that population of like, so often the reason that I've seen them fail before is because they've been shamed at the point that it's got tough, of like, basically you're like they it's fed into that self-belief system that's a little bit broken. And it's like, so if you don't have that patience to be like, well, we're going to keep on going and be that like steady ship, I think it can be really difficult. I know there are coaches that do struggle with that, and I think that's fine. You just got to find, let's say, the type of clientele that you work with. But yeah, I think that's enough of a ramble, hopefully.
You did great, and I can tell just the way you talk about it that it does bring you a lot of joy. It shows. I think it's totally aligned with that. Maybe you would resonate with this end of it, of like the room for, well, I just don't give a shit about going from 99% to 99.9% in terms of like optimizing every single variable. Like if you work with a pro bodybuilder, pro athlete, pro fighter, whatever, like I'm not poo-pooing somebody who cares about that. I just don't give a shit about it. And so I won't be as good. I get really pumped up about these sort of like more qualities of daily living that get improved, you know, from like a mental health, like just quality of life, going up the stairs, you know, being able to pick up your kids, getting out of pain, seeing some muscle growth. Like I don't want to totally poo-poo aesthetics either, but I personally don't give a shit about the point beyond which returns are diminishing. Like for my own self, I'm a procrastinator. I'm lazy. I'm a minimalist. I don't, in my own life and in my own soul, align with doing way more for way less. And I think that that's maybe because I didn't, you know, I played football, soccer at a not elite level, but a high-ish level, but never the elite, elite, elite. Academically, I wasn't in the pursuit of elite, elite, elite. And I was always looking for ways to kind of like go a little bit more broad and enjoy my life in kind of different ways. And so I think, again, there are people out there, amazing bodybuilding coaches, you know, I follow some of them and I hear the things they talk about and I'm like, that's cool for you. Right? I'm glad you probably feel just as passionate about that as I do for some of the things that you and I have a similar clientele. But do you feel that way too, where you're like, it's not, I won't be as good at doing that because I don't feel as fulfilled. I don't connect with that as a, it doesn't fill me up with as much joy as having my client go from working out in her basement because she's nervous about not belonging in the gym, which I want to talk about in a second, and then going into the gym and ultimately being like, oh my God, I'm, you know, I got this, you know? And so do you feel like it's like, yeah, it's like we all do, we're all going to be better at working with people that are solving problems we ourselves kind of resonate and feel more passionate about in our own life.
Yeah, I'd say I agree with that. And I think as well, when we think about like an evidence-based practitioner, it's not just the evidence as well, it's the experience that you bring with that. And people that are passionate about that and live and breathe it and have that environment around them that coach those people day in, day out, like that is going to be a steadier ship. And I'll be always one first one to be like, you might like me, but go to them, because like they are going to have that experience as well as the evidence. Whereas like I might be able to read it in a book, but to actually get someone on stage and to do that, like I haven't got that experience, nor do I want it. Like it's one of those for me. It's like, and so, like as you say, similar to you, it's like maybe one day I'd like to do a powerlifting meet just for lols. Like that would be a good fun. That's something that is probably be a bit more. I still probably wouldn't coach it because again, I don't live and breathe it. It would more, be more. I think I could probably do that a bit more fun because I can eat loads of food whilst going towards that stage. So yeah. It's like, but like, but very. In terms of like, I'd say the bit that I would say, yeah, my strength is like I know very well how to unlock someone that has probably deemed themselves that they can't do it. I know how to probably get to them and resonate with them and unlock their potential to be happier. Like I'm very, very confident. If I meet someone that is struggling with their nutrition, struggling getting in, starting the gym, I was like, I feel very, very confident. I'll be like, yeah, we're going to sort you out. Whereas if someone came to me, was like, I need to get on stage. It's like, I know the theory and I could probably write a plan for you. But if you were to invest that money in someone that does this day in, day out, lives, breathes it, like go to them. Like, yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about how to feel more confident in the gym. That's something that you talk about quite a bit. And I'll ask two questions there. One is what you think holds people back from going to the gym in the first place, or what are people's main pain/fear points about going into the gym? And maybe on top of that, why you feel like that's something worth overcoming, which kind of begs some follow-up questions about why exercise is important. But yeah, what do you think is holding people back? What are some of the things that people come to you and they're like, yeah, you know, maybe they don't even come out right and tell you that they're nervous about going to the gym, but you might be somebody who picks up on that. So what are some of those fear points? How do you help people work through that? And why ultimately is that a problem that you feel they should or would be worth considering overcoming?
No, really good questions. I think there's a multitude of reasons why people will avoid the gym like the plague. I do think a lot of those reasons can come down to shame though, or embarrassment. Like I think like common pain points are, I don't feel like I'm in shape enough to start the gym. You got like the comment is like, oh, but there's all the big burly men there. I work with a lot of women. It's like, oh, but that's the men's bit. Can't do that. They're scary. And it's like, oh, and it's like that's something that of, they don't feel like they're already in shape enough to be going to the gym. So they don't feel like that's a place for them. I think there's an element of I don't know what it's like in the States, but definitely in the UK, of like, we have PE, which is physical education at school, which is where you get to do sport. And people that are bad at it at school always come with PTSD going into the gym. And a lot of people are bad at it at school as well. Probably the majority of people aren't like natural sportsmen. They're like, they might be generally fit and healthy. They can go for a walk, but getting them to run and kick a ball and have that coordination, like, that's hell on earth. And so being forced through that through school and having their early years of exercise, like, as this terrible thing that they're going to be really bad at immediately, then going, oh, you got to go to the gym again. It's like, I think there's an element of that previous experience. And then again, wrapped up in that previous experience of people just like hating the gym as well. Like, so often people will maybe go to the gym once and they'll get like a PT that's just got their qualifications and then gets into 100 burpees, being sick on the floor, can't walk for a week, and they go, I never want to do that again because the gym is bad. And it's like, I think sometimes it's like there's, it's usually coming from either the fear of a bad experience, because as I say, they've never been before, they don't feel like they belong, and there's that perception of what the gym is, and that's that fear of that. And I think, yeah, the other side is very valid of like, I've had shit experience somewhere around exercise before, and that's a place where I have to go then and exercise in front of other people, ill, minging, don't want to do it. So I think like there's that, it's kind of wrapped up in that little bubble of don't want to fuck up, don't want to be embarrassed, I don't feel like I belong, and it's a big ick. So I'm going to put that under the stairs, worry about that later, leave me alone. I think that's quite often where people are starting off when they get that fear. And I completely resonate that, because I remember first going into the weights room when I first started weight training. It was what, 8-9 years ago, and going, there was never any other men. Any other women. It was all men. I think once I would see a woman now and then, I'd be like, oh, it's her. It's like, now it's a different story. Like, it is, I'd say 50-50, but going into that environment for the first time, yeah, it was absolutely terrifying. So I think, yeah, it is, yeah, definitely something that I feel is common and understandable. But in terms of like, is it worth like going through? I think, to be honest, not to go all David Goggins on this situation, but like, because it is a hard and scary thing, I think the first reason of why it's really important to do, not even talking about like the exercise stuff, is that when we think about like just building confidence and just feeling better in ourselves, sometimes it is doing those things that you want to run away from, and then realizing, oh, you do it and it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, and you go, oh shit, I'm actually capable to do those things. And it's, I think sometimes, a lot of the time, I work with people, and the confidence they gain is like, some of it is because they built a bit of muscle, they've lost a bit of fat, and they can fit into their t-shirt again. But to be honest, a lot of it is just doing like micro doses of hard things repeatedly and building that confidence in themselves of like, I couldn't do that before and now I can do it. And I think the gym, although it's really, really terrifying, if you could embrace that and be like, yes, it is scary as shit, but I'm going to take it at my own pace to build up to it. There's no pressure. We can start maybe just walking on the treadmill. We can start working with like a PT or whatever it is that eases you in. It's like, you're probably going to feel so much more confident in yourself and so much more capable if you do it. And so I think that's probably the first reason I would say like, get wiggling in the gym, is because it's hard. And I know that doesn't motivate everyone to know that, but I think it's something that is definitely important not to be ignored.
Can I pause on that? Can we stay on that for just 1 sec? So I think, I'm not poo-pooing the idea that somebody could lose body fat, gain some muscle, and just changing their aesthetics makes them more confident. I don't want to pretend like the aesthetics has no part to play in that, but I don't think that's what you said either, but I have seen like when people are like, oh, I worked out and it helped with my confidence. Like from what I've seen, like the vast majority of that statement comes from like a feeling of belonging, a feeling of competency in the gym, a feeling of usually strength, actually being like, oh, I feel strong. Like, yeah, baked in there for sure is like, oh, I got to wear my crop top, I think I look good. Or I saw that muscle, you know, when I was taking a form video, and totally, I'm sure that's all in there. But you saying like, a little bit of Goggins, a little bit of like doing the hard thing for personal growth, because that's where the personal growth lies. I think a lot of it comes, it doesn't necessarily have to have, like if you're nervous of going to the gym, it's not like, oh, I'll get in shape first. Like I think that I've seen a lot more success with getting people to feel competent with doing the moves correctly, like knowing where the gym, where the dumbbells are, how to use a machine. I think that there's a lot of opportunity to expedite the process of feeling more confident in the gym that don't have to do with aesthetics, has to do with like feeling competent, like I know what I'm doing. And I think that that's actually like I know you and I are, we've been going to the gym for the last, you know, decade. So it seems pretty easy for us. I actually don't think it's, when I'm not saying it's easy. Like if you're out there thinking it's hard, like you're an idiot. I'm saying I get really pumped up when I meet somebody that thinks it's hard because I know in my heart that you can do it. Like I know that in my heart, you can figure out the lat pull down machine and the dumbbell exercises. And I know you can do it. So do you find that too, where it's like, yeah, we're not even talking about like aesthetically getting to the place where you feel like you look like you belong. It's more of like getting you to a point where you have the confidence that you know how to kind of do the exercises. You feel like you're, even if you don't know how to do everything, you have the confidence to know that you're working with somebody who's going to help you figure it out. Where do you feel like that confidence is ultimately built, even though I just rambled on that for like 10 minutes?
Yeah, no, I think good ramble. And to be honest, it's actually the heart of my content. Like a lot of the stuff that is, it's like, this is how to set up a cable machine. This is how to set up a barbell. Like, I think like my best performing posts ever have been, this is why a lateral raise fucking sucks and why you're weak. Like, it's like, or like a pull up. Yeah, that's not meant to be easy. And it's like, it's just like going through. So it's quite often it is like going that internal thought that you go in, you go, fuck, everyone can do this. I'm not going to tell everyone, like say that out loud to anyone that I think I should be able to do this, but I'm going to internalize that and then go back. And then you see it on social media or like my content going, oh yeah, you're not meant to be able to do that when you first start. That's fine. You're not stupid. Let's figure out how to do it. So I think like, yeah, no, I like just definitely resonate with that there. But I think, yeah, in terms of building that confidence, I think, yeah, to be honest, I think you did hit a lot of the nails on the head of, there's so much opportunity for learning in the gym of each of those bits of equipment. Is like, you can feel that connection getting better week on week. And like, I'm actually just thinking of a client that messaged me literally this morning saying that she deadlifted her body weight for the first time. And before she started, we were starting her with just like some kettlebells and learning the hinge movement. And she was like, I remember when I couldn't even understand that for like 4 weeks. And it just took ages to connect. I was getting really frustrated at it. And now I'm like, and she's done it as smooth as hell, like body weight deadlifts for reps. And she's going to keep on going from here. So I think it's just like that exposure to learning a skill and that experience of that, like embracing it when you're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing, and then improving it. I think that builds confidence. I always talk about this when in context of like driving a car, like when you first ever learned driving a car, like in the UK, you have sticks. So you're learning like the button point and the clutch and everything. And it's like, you stall it like 50 times. You want to cry, you want to call your mum, and it's awful. But you get back in the car anyway, because you know that the end is worth it. And like now, most people are driving whilst eating McDonald's secretly underneath the steering wheel, don't even think twice about it. And they just will kind of cruise along. And it's like, and you get that from all that like I say, that microdosing of kind of doing the hard thing to begin with and learning that, and that you build that confidence in that area. And that probably does feed, like, as you get older, you get more confident, I think, just as an adult and as a human. But I think it's because you continue to learn. And I think that's a little example, which kind of like, you're basically in the gym, you're learning to drive lots of little cars again. And the good thing is here, if you fuck it up, you're not going to kill anyone. So, yeah.
Do you feel like, I'm trying to think, I have had so many positive experiences, I don't want to go with my bias, of people who were nervous to go in the gym and ultimately realized it wasn't as scary as they thought. Now, I don't want to, again, there are people out there that, again, I've had, it's just funny, in the same breath, I have a group program, and in the group program, like once in a while, like there will be a thread of people like sharing their like most annoying, like mansplaining moments in the gym, or like people saying something. And so they totally exist. But do you feel like this sometimes when you're working with a client, like, hey, I'm not feeling super confident in going to the gym, I want to start, you know, just being at home or whatever. Do you feel like the gym itself has this like kind of cloud that isn't as scary as it seems, and that a lot of people have not a misconception that it's scary and it's going to be a bunch of these gym bros, you know, talking shit and laughing at everyone. Do you feel like people sometimes have a misconception of how scary it might be?
Yeah, I think definitely if you're not gone to the gym before, and I think it's quite natural because it's an unknown. And I think when it's an unknown, it's scary. And actually a lot of my clients, like a lot of them, I'll say close to 50%, we actually start at home. So we'll usually do a training phase at home and then go, cool, you've learned the movements, we've done it form recording, we've figured things out. Now we place that exact workout in a gym setting. Because a lot of it, I think there's a couple of unknowns, I think, people are scared of. There's obviously the actual environment itself, which could be the people there that are going to come up and talk to you, and you're going to be exercising in front of people. You don't know what the machine's going to be doing. Just going into that new space where everyone looks like they know what they're doing and you don't is intimidating. I think I think there is that level of like that fear is real and it's valid. I don't think it's enough to stop you from trying, but I think it is real and valid. But I think it's like, yeah, there is that sense of like sometimes to help you kind of guide into that. Like doing some training at home is stuff that we can do. I don't know if I actually answered the question. I went on a ramble.
No, that's a really good one. I want to stay with that. So let's stay with like things you can do to, you know, go from being nervous in the gym to feeling confident. One of them is starting at home, which I love. Oh my God. I've had so many clients who work out at home for a while and then go into the gym. And that's such a lovely transition because you've built some competence with the movements at home. And you said something key, which is like, do the same workout just at the gym. You change one variable, which is just the environment. You're doing stuff you know how to do. Yeah. The you don't know where the dumbbells are or whatever, but that's an amazing, amazing tip. I don't think there's anything wrong with starting at home. I don't think that that's you taking some sort of easy way out or a cop out. I think that that's totally fine. You have another post, top tip, first day at the gym from like a year ago. I don't know if you remember exactly what it is. Can you talk a little bit about that one? Because I always just absolutely binge people's content before they come on the pod. That was one that I was like, I hadn't heard that. At first I was like, oh, I wonder if I agree with this. And then I was like, actually, I think it's an awesome tip. And so just share it with us.
Yeah. So I think if it is your first time in the gym, regardless if you trained at home or not before, but if you go in and then you just feel sweaty asshole, you feel like everything's like going, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever. I've walked into this place. I just don't know what to do. Is if you've had a gym induction, hopefully they showed you how to use like a cardio machine. And often you can have a treadmill or a bike. I would say probably the two easy ones that at least like to go wrong. Like I'll say probably the bike more than any of them. Sometimes the seat's a bit uncomfortable, but whatever. You can kind of just hop on there. And quite often as well, the cardio machines are facing like the rest of the gym. And you can kind of just sit yourself on there. There's no rush to do anything. Like I would just say, take all the pressure off. Like you don't need to go in and conquer everything on your first day or even your first week or even to be honest, when you're ready. And so if you just get yourself on a cardio machine, take it gentle, just look over and think, okay, so that's where the machines are. That's where the weights are. That's what they're doing. If you have like a program, there's a free one that I give out just for exactly this. But like, it's like if you have like a program, you go, okay, this is what the program is. Maybe I could use it with that. You can just start to suss it out and even just like imagine it for yourself. And it's like, even if that's all you do and you actually go home at the end of that day, you've made one step more than just putting it off in your head and not having any clue what that unknown is. And I think it just helps you work through that unknown. I think it just exposes you to being in gym. Ultimately, the most annoying piece of advice about how can I get more confident to go into the gym, it's like, you've got to go to the gym more. I'm really sorry, but that is what you've got to do. And so sometimes just like keeping that barrier to entry as little friction as possible. And I think that's a really, really great way to do it. Or even just going in and stretching or something, if that's something that you're comfortable doing at home. I think it just can help you get used to that environment, make it feel less scary. And then from that point, you might go, okay, I'll do... Like I've had a few clients go, cool, I did a bit of the treadmill and I did the leg press. I did a little bit of treadmill and I did that pull down. I just did one of them. And eventually we get up to doing the whole program. And it's sure, it might take weeks to get there if you're very, very anxious, but you're still going to get there quicker than if you put it off entirely. And most people don't take that long. I would say most people, they'll do it once or twice, go, you know what, actually, this is calm. I can just crack on. But whatever it is, it's just that art of showing up, I think, and just repeating that to reduce the fear and get in the habit of actually going to the gym. I think it just really builds a great foundation, even if you don't, I say, conquer the world or conquer the whole gym straight away. Like, you're not a failure if that is where you're starting.
Yeah, just go. People watch on the treadmill for a week. And just, and even if you're, like, I like the idea of, like, doing mental reps, kind of just, like, going in and being like, okay, here's the program I have or don't have, and I'm watching other people use the machines. Okay, I see, you know, most people, you know, a lot of people aren't using everything 100% correctly, but you can at least get the general gist of what the lat pull down looks like, what the leg press looks like. Okay, that's over here, that's over there.
Before you get it right anyway. Yeah. They're probably doing it wrong. The first time you try, like, I think that's the thing as well. First time you try, no offense, but you will get it wrong. It's fine. Just go light, go slow, and then you won't hurt yourself. But, like, you're not going to go in and bang out a perfect deadlift the first ever time you've done any exercise. Like, it's going to be something that it takes that learning. And so I think, like, yeah, so those mental reps, even if they aren't the best ones that you're looking at, it gives you that idea of like, okay, I can get the confidence to go try it. And when you start to try it, you can start to figure things out a bit easier, I think. Yeah.
I love that. I feel like I actually probably bought into that a lot myself. Like when I would used to go to some like new gyms when I was younger, would be like, hey, let me get on the treadmill and just suss this place out. Let me see what's going on here. Probably wasn't even confident myself to just walk around and figure shit out. And I was like, oh, let me get a bird's eye view. Let me go on the, some gyms have like that upper terrace of all the cardio machines. I'm like, let me look down at like what people are doing. I love that as an idea. I love, and even if it's like, hey, let's do that and we'll do one exercise and then we'll go. And that comes back to the patience piece of kind of working with this sort of a clientele. It's like, we're not in a rush to get the perfect program. Like if this takes us 3 months, but what you've gained is a lifelong confidence in this place that's going to have just crazy knock-on effects for your mental health and physical health. Like that's a very small price to pay, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Cool. Any other things that jump straight to the top of the list of things people can do if they are currently listening and they're thinking, I'm that person. I'm a little bit, I think the two that we nailed are maybe work with a coach and don't be afraid to work at home. That's not a cop-out. That's not you like crapping out of our Goggins mentality of do it anyway. The second is take that mentality of, yeah, that's, you know, where the fear is, that's where there's growth. And there is an element of do it anyway, right? If you can't get over the fear, do it scared sort of thing. Like, even when I say that, it gets me half pumped up, half cringe. Because that's how I feel about Goggins. Like sometimes it amps me up. But it's a bit of both. I want those feelings both inside of me of like, yes, I know that that's actually true. Even if it's cringing me out a little bit. Anything else that jumps kind of to the top of the list there? Go with a friend, hire a PT, make sure you have a coach in some way. Like those are some that can be on the list too.
Yeah, I think they're great things to add to the list. I think, definitely get a gym induction. You should be getting one of those anyway. But like that's a great thing to do. I think in-person PTs, if you're very nervous, I would say they're a different job to online coaching. And I think they're online coaches and PTs like to shit all over each other, but I think they're both great in their own right, but like they offer different things. But I think PTs are absolutely fantastic for helping you feel at ease and just knowing, okay, this person is setting stuff up. You can kind of just go through it. And even if you just do it for a couple of months, again, you mentioned there, like, that 3 month investment of maybe putting more time and money into that resource so that you can feel confident in the gym so you can exercise for 5 years later. But that's a worthy investment. So I think a PT is a great thing to do. Again, friend, if you've got a friend, is great. I'm going to do a shameless plug and be like, if you go on my Instagram and go find my, I've got a free 6 week home program and a free 10 week home program, which has a 4 week primer phase where you just take it really easy if you want to before going in and actually doing stuff a bit harder, with videos for all of the exercises and stuff. So you can just maybe start with that. I say you might not do it perfectly. You might. I have people that message. They go, "I'm on my third round. I've been doing it for like 30 weeks now," and they're like, "I've actually started seeing gains now." I'm like, "Brilliant! This is great." But I'd say like having a program doesn't have to be my one. I won't be offended. But like, yeah, you can. Like my first ever program was from bodybuilding.com, and it was horrific. I couldn't walk for 4 weeks. I swear. she was a Mrs. Olympia, and it was like 5 days a week, absolutely smashed myself to bits. And I felt confident in the gym doing it, but my God, did I hurt. So I tried to mitigate that hurting bit with the with the program that's free. But something like that, I think. Just so you have a bit of security as what you're doing when you go in there can be really, really helpful.
Yep. Listen, anything from early 2000s bodybuilding forums, just like 1,000 sets, like German volume training or just some crazy, million different things, like 80 different exercises. I mean, 2+ hours in the gym just was so normal during those years as a prescription, just insane.
Do I get to ask you any questions?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the worst program that you ever did? If you did any of those to begin with, because I did a good chunk of them. What was the one that you were like, looking back now, like, oh my God, did I actually put myself through that?
German volume training is the one that jumps to mind. There are, honestly, some of the worst programs I ever wrote were programs I wrote for myself, which was like just assuming that like more was better, just like crazy amounts of drop sets and crazy, like just prioritizing how sore I was and how broken I was as like wearing that as like a badge of honor, literally like entire day for biceps. So it would go in and do like 6 or 7 exercises for biceps and like not be able to straighten my arm for like 5 days. But if I was to think of like, I actually have some positive memories of some of those programs that have affected me, like Max OT and some other programs. But German volume training, for those of you listening, is basically like a 10 sets of 10 reps program where you have maybe
60 seconds rest, is it?
Yeah, it's insane. It's like two exercises per day or whatever, but it's 10 sets of 10 with very minimal rest. Not no rest, but yeah, it's like 1 to 2 minute rest.
And it's stuff like squats.
It's barbell bench press, squats, like bent over row, and just like, it's like, just, yeah, it was just created with no, I mean, whatever. People were just trying shit at the time. There wasn't like a ton of like, it wasn't evidence-based and whatever. And if anything, it was a testament to like how forgiving, and I use that terminology a lot when it comes to building muscle, so forgiving. Like there's such a wide range of each variable that like the bullseye for rep range is so wide. The bullseye for like proximity to failure is actually kind of pretty wide. Bullseye for rest periods is pretty wide. Like a lot of different exercises, even if they're not optimal for hypertrophy, grow muscle. And so like, even if you do a bunch of stupid shit, I mean, if you look at all the biggest guys and biggest gals and most muscular people, like the one thing that contributed to like 85% of their gains was like many years of many hard sets and a lot of food. And then like, yeah, we can have arguments about the other 10-15%. But yeah, so if anything, it's a testament to like, I bet you that those were the times where I grew the most also, obviously, because I was newer to training. But yeah, it's a testament to like, you know, in this world of optimal, like you have a ton of wiggle room if you train hard and you are consistent over many years.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I like that
You know, that's it. You're not going to, that's the only grilling I get. No, I see how it is. No problem. No worries. I want to touch on this because I think this is what makes you really special, is that like you already, in just like, I've only known you for 46 minutes, but like I already feel your aura of you not taking yourself too seriously and I bet you there are people listening that are getting into the gym or want to get into lifting and they feel like, again, a little afraid of it. Like it's this big, serious thing. It's this big, scary thing. And you have this skill, this talent, this aura of diffusing that a little bit of like, it's not that serious. You know, like wiggle your bits is like that's your motto slogan or whatever. I want you to talk about that a little bit. 'Cause it's funny. It's like more of like a British way of saying that sort of stuff. But it encompasses who you are. And I just want to, I don't know, how did you get like that? And do you know that that's your superpower, is kind of what I wanted to ask you.
Oh gosh. I didn't know it was my superpower, but I'll definitely wear that with a badge of honor. That's not a bad one to have. So thank you very much. But no, I would say, like, I don't think I've always been wired that way. I don't think at all. I was the most anxious being you could ever imagine growing up. Like, that's something that I did actually touch on in my origin story of, like, one of the reasons that I did exercise as much as I did is because I had really bad anxiety and, like, a panic disorder, like, from the age of, again, like, 6 or so. Like, I would have, like, panic attacks a lot up until I was about, like, 18. And through that time, I just took everything super serious because I was scared of everything. And then when I first got into the gym, I remember I had such a big ego on me. Like, I had to do it perfectly. I had that perfectionist mindset to it. I even joke with my friends who I went to uni with, who saw me when the first 2 years of me training, when like I went, because it helped my anxiety so much, I went really obsessive with it. I think it was kind of connected, like that kind of neurological pathway, whatever. If you talk to my friends from uni, they were like, you were crazy. Like, I was on the chicken, broccoli and rice diet. I was training 6 to 7 times a week. I felt super serious. I was like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Big man, hard man. I can squat now. Like, you know, when you kind of get first through, I was nervous as hell for the first like 3 months, and I got to the bit where I got over it. And I was like, I know everything about the gym now. And then it was when you have the humbling of like, actually, I've not really seen much progress. I probably don't know what I'm doing. And I think it was like, yeah, just like, having your ego shattered a little bit. It's like, oh my God, I was so wrong, but everything's still fine. And then repeatedly doing that, I think just over time, like, yeah, you just get a bit of sense of humor with it. And I think that's the British way as well, a little bit maybe. I think that does contribute a lot to what I think now of like the people I work with is kind of like the person I was when I first started training. And so I think it's one where it's like, I needed that person at that time to shake me up and be like, you really don't need to be stressed about these minors. Just have fun, eat food, lift weights. Like I say, you can, these are some cool ways to train. You can experiment with it, but like have at least a little bit of a program, have a bit of structure. Don't lift with your ego. Like at least prioritize a bit of form, like at least have some form of that. And it's like, and it's like, as well, again, it just, as I didn't need to be that serious. You like, you didn't have to be training like you're a bodybuilder from day dot. Like, you can't, there's lots of fun you can have in between. So I think like probably how serious I took it took me to how less serious I take it now, of like, I think having that realization of like, oh, you can have fun and it's way better when you do. I think that's like that probably had a lot of influence. But I think, yeah, just me as a person generally, like, yeah, like, humor is always my first defense on anything, so that probably bleeds through as well. But that's a little bit deep for a podcast, I think.
Yeah. Do you find that, and I've asked this question to so many people like you or like me, and I'm always interested in people's answers. So do you are like, hey, I started off taking the shit of fucking super seriously. So seriously that if I look back on it now, I might call it too seriously for my like optimal mental health, you know? Do you look back at that and you're like, yeah, but that was ultimately part of how I found balance, and it's part of my journey, and it's part of how I got there. And if yes or no, what about when you meet somebody who is taking it super duper seriously? Like, do you ever see a little bit of yourself and you're like, well, maybe it's all right for us to go fucking ham and dot every T and cross every I, because that might be part of your journey too? Or yeah, how do you take your journey from extreme to not extreme and help others?
Yeah, I think, as you said, I found a lot of my balance by not being balanced from both ends of the spectrum, from like not doing enough and doing too much. I think balance gets thrown around a lot of like, you just need to be balanced, but that can be different for different people. And I think as well, like I say, you learn balance from a lot of experience, and even stuff like outside of fitness and nutrition, like with like my work at the moment, like my work-life balance isn't actually that balanced. I work all the bloody time. But I wouldn't change it. And I know in 5 years' time, I'll probably look back and be like, oh, I couldn't do that right now because I don't want that. But at the moment, I'm like, I've got a buzz for it. I'm really enjoying actually working this hard and I'm doing those things. And it isn't as balanced. And like, I think it's one of those of like, balance is a bit of a funny one. I think it does sometimes having, again, like experimenting with it, but maybe like of the view of like, okay, we might need to dial it back if I see that I'm starting to burn out or my mental health's going, or I'm seeing some things are issues there. And this is actually a question that came up in my group coaching this week, of like, they're like, I'm really enjoying dialing in, I feel really consistent, I'm really enjoying the results I'm getting, but I'm worried that I like down the line I'm gonna get obsessive around it. And it's like, it is a very real thing that we obviously want to be aware of doing, and noticing when you do teeter on that edge of like, okay, this is actually having, you say that diminishing returns of, okay, but why are you doing that extra thing of like making sure your protein timing is exactly on point, or like, yeah, waking up in the middle of the night to have a protein shake or something. Like when is it going to, obviously for different people, it's going to be a different line. And I think it's one of those of like, that's where a coach is super, super helpful, because you check in with that regularly and you have that check-in of like, right, how are you feeling? And you actually ask the questions. So I think when you do it alone, sometimes you can bury your head in the sand for like weeks and then you go, like, I know that happened with me. It's like, I went for 3 months and I got to the point where my point where I realized, I was like, I'm not balanced with this anymore. Is I went, my friend had like made some pizzas and I was like, oh my God, I can't eat that. It can't fit in my calories. So I didn't eat anything. And I just sat there and watched everyone eat these pizzas and I was miserable. And then I carried on the deficit, and that was the first time I ever got like shredded towards like the first few years of training. And then it wasn't actually until a few months afterwards I really realized, I was like, shit, that's right. But if I had someone to speak to saying I felt shit that time, I think I would have called things a little bit differently. So I think, yeah, I think you do find balance through experience of like, what is your like limit and what is your point of diminishing returns? Because there are those people that absolutely live and breathe bodybuilding and they go for it and it's fine, they're happy. But I think like having that coach and that someone that actually asks you that question of like, are you okay though? I think is really, really helpful in that process of finding that. Which is why, yeah, I have a coach for my own trading, I have a coach for my business, like all those sorts of things to talk through that. So yeah.
Yeah. I always wrestle with that because I think I love where I'm at, mental health, relationship with fitness and my body right now. But I'm like, okay, but how much of that do I owe to experiencing extremities, the extreme bounds of what is possible of restriction and obsession with physique? And with that, oh my God, looking back at that, like how much of me being able to stay balanced is because I know what that's like and I don't want to go back? And I try and wrestle with that because I'm like, okay, what if I, like now am I getting in some people's way of ultimately getting to that point themselves by experiencing some, not, extreme in a dangerous way, but like going all in on something. And I ultimately think that there's, again, on an individual basis, some people are going to do really well with being like, hey, I'm gonna track every morsel. I'm gonna track like fucking mustard down to the gram, you know, for periods of time as a learning experience to ultimately find balance. Great, cool. But I also think that you and I can help shorten people's learning curves. Like, there's also an element of like, yeah, fine. But like, ultimately, I can also, you can get to this happy, you know, healthy, mentally really happy with the relationship with food and body place without all of that shit too. So I also think like, I'm like, yeah, but I also think you don't have to do that in a lot of cases. And so I hope that I can shorten the learning curve for a lot of people there.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think like a way maybe of like, of considering that is like, for example, when people go all in and you think, oh, to maybe on a fat loss journey and they're tracking protein, carbs and fats, and you're like, you know, you could like you could be looser with those. And I think that's the shortening of like, you can just make them aware of like how important the blocks are. Like, because if you're obsessed about hitting the gym four times a week and being so consistent with that, it's like, yeah, that, I say that the returns you get from that is really freaking cool. But if it is like doing, I say the timing of that workout is exactly 1.5 hours after a meal, like I can't think of a specific example, like, you know, say like getting your carb gram to the gram every single day, it's like there's those areas where you can go, this is, yeah, this part is really important, but this part, if you need to, you can, like, if you optimize it, sure, you might get like a 0.3 better percent result, but like, this is where you can be looser if you need to. And I think that does calm people, a lot of people down, and still they can push themselves, but it just gives that flexibility that hope, like, yeah, I think does find balance a lot quicker. Like most people that, or pretty much everyone that leaves my program isn't thinking about being obsessed with food anymore. They're not being obsessed with training. If we do feel they're going along that way, we actually do defer out to specialized dietitians. If we pick up early doors, like, oh, this is a deeper rooted thing. Like we try to do the best that we can to catch those people coming through our nets and stuff. But like I say, 80-90%, we're behind that, probably 90-95% of people don't ever get to that point, or they didn't have that in the first place. So it is just a case of shortcutting that balance point. Yeah.
Awesome. We're coming up on the hour. I want to be respectful of your time. Super duper fun. Do the thing where you tell people where they can find you.
Oh, cool. So you can find me at Henley Fitness on Instagram and TikTok. Yes, on TikTok. And I think on Facebook as well. I think it posts over on Facebook, but those are the main two.
And you have, well, you have one-on-one coaching. You also sell like one-off programs that people can do on their own. What are kind of your bread and butter things that you are offering?
So we do one-to-one coaching. So I have three coaches that work with me who are all beautiful, beautiful humans that, one of them even coaches my dad, would trust him with my life. So yeah, we've got a group of one-to-one coaches, but they also help run my group program, which is every 8 weeks, which actually is a hybrid of group coaching and one-to-one. It's just the one-to-one, like how deep we go into stuff. In the one-to-one service, you get video and form checks, and it just goes into things a bit deeper. But we do check on you every week. One-to-one level, we do a little written feedback. So yeah, we just make sure if you're going through a fat loss process or muscle building process, your data is getting looked at, your thoughts and feelings are getting heard, and we support you through that. Don't do any one-off programs at the moment. I just think they should be free. So I just give them out for free. I'm like, there's so many free programs out there. You might as well get a good one and not pay any money for it. So yeah, we actually just get people into the group and yeah, the one-to-one program. So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's, I see the free wiggle your bits. I love that. I think you're 100% right. And whatever, from a business standpoint, also good. So also smart. But you, yeah, you know that. Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.